T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back to Gresh and Keith on WEEI.
Jason, make me feel good about Mac Jones, my new hero.
Man, he didn't make any mistakes in the game. He was poised, even between plays. He's yelling at the offense to get it going. Just a guy that seemed in total control of the offense, making checks at the line of scrimmage. Even when we watched him on film in the preseason, he was like, this guy's a rookie, but he's playing like a veteran out there. So we kind of knew, like, all right, we're going to have to bring our best game to be able to defeat him.
That is Jason McCourty, not even playing here anymore.
Wow, played against him, though.
Played against him, that's right. Jason McCourty of the Miami Dolphins on the Bill Simmons podcast earlier this week kicks off hour two of Gresh and Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com. Anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. Good morning to all the affiliates down on the Big Signal, 103.7 in Providence as well. Worcester, Springfield, Cape and the Islands up in Keene, New Hampshire, and in Maine. Are you at all surprised to hear what you've heard from mainly NFL players this week about Mac Jones?
No, just because we all watched every single snap. We all saw it play out, and he made very few errors in the game.
I haven't heard anybody say, oh, he's like Andy Dalton. Heard any of that analysis.
We heard that once, but again, Andy Dalton didn't suck. Like, everybody, they remember the primetime games and the playoff losses, but playoff losses mean he took the freaking Bengals to the playoffs. So I think that's another whole side story that Andy Dalton's turned into like the end of a joke, where he actually has had a pretty good NFL career. But I also think before we get so far excited and so far over our heels, even the Cam Newton week one last year looked pretty good. Cam Newton week two last year looked pretty good. Now, nobody thought that was going to be the quarterback for the next 10 years. I'm not suggesting that. But you saw, hey, maybe they have something for this season, right? So things can change pretty quickly in the NFL. Like Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, Ryan Tannehill, they all played like crap week one. That's not how they're going to play all season. So then the reverse can also be true. Guys that played really well. Like, do you think Jameis Winston's going to throw 5 touchdowns every week?
No, just like I don't think that Mac Jones will be, just like I think there will be growing pains for Mac Jones.
There is. Like, he's going to throw a pick. That's going to happen this year.
Well, of course.
He's probably going to throw 10. He's probably going to throw 12, whatever it is. So it's like, all right, at what point in the game do you throw those picks? How bad of a decision was it? How do you respond to it? So I think week one, he did a lot of the things that you were hoping to see. So that's why I think it's very over-the-top positive for him.
For me, it's not even as much grading the performance as it was grading the way he ran everything. And the fact that he recognized things on the fly. I mentioned the Jonnu Smith play a little bit earlier, that Jacoby Myers where Patriots actually ran a rub route that wasn't an offensive pass interference. Mm. Those kinds of things. That's what impressed me about Mac Jones was that I would dare say Garoppolo was probably the only one, and I don't even think in the first start of Jimmy Garoppolo in this offense, he looked as good in terms of the command of everything as Mac Jones did.
Oh, maybe not in the Arizona game. In the Miami game, he did.
I thought he got better that week, too. Absolutely.
The game that he got hurt.
To settle in a little
bit. The game that he got hurt was the game that people were looking around at each other like,
this guy can play.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this guy's actually pretty good. And then he got hurt, and then the sort of last time we ever saw him play for the Patriots.
And I think the difference, too, is that with a guy like Jimmy, not just being a second-round pick, but that he was an FCS-level player, even though it was at Eastern Illinois, and they've had a system there that's produced quarterbacks for many years, whereas you have a guy coming out of Alabama where the expectations are completely different.
I also think that with Mac Jones, I don't know, it just what we saw in the preseason
we were like, oh, look, he's running the no huddle. He's running the 2 minute. He's doing all this stuff. He seemed to have command in the preseason. But all of us in the back of our mind were like, it's preseason. Like, it's preseason.
Let's see it.
It's
week
preseason.
One.
So he kind of took those performances or even the that practice that everybody goes back to, the joint practice against the Giants where Cam Newton wasn't there and Mac Jones may have won the job that day. Like, okay, practice, preseason, let's get to a game that counts. And he did it. And so, okay, great. Like, we were just talking to Ian Rapoport, and he's like, it wasn't really a surprise by anybody. It was just he took what he was doing early on in camp and brought that to a regular season game. So it does hold more weight to do it in the regular season game, but it's what he had been doing.
He validated what some people thought. And I've been big on Mac Jones from the very beginning, as we know, and I thought he was very impressive. And like you said, there will be bumps in the road. There will be hiccups. He won't be perfect.
Of course.
But he could end up having a very special season for a rookie relative to other rookies over the course of history in the NFL. And, of course, he was getting the bouquets, to say the least. Devin McCourty went on with Colin Cowherd on Tuesday. Here is what teammate Devin McCourty, who, by the way, will join Greg Hill in the Greg Hill Show tomorrow here on Patriots Friday on WEEI. Here is Devin McCourty. Actually, this is from the Bill Simmons podcast on Mac Jones.
Mac's kind of attitude and his approach to the game, I think, made a lot of the veterans really like him and love what he was doing. Gets mad at himself. He's hard on himself a lot. And I think a lot, I know I said to him one time, like, man, you're a rookie. You're going to make some mistakes. Just keep going. And I think guys saw right away, you know, what he wanted to do and you know, the control that he had when he was out on the field, the poise. So it's been fun so far just watching his growth from training camp all the way to week one.
So Devin must be doing the tour because that was on the Bill Simmons podcast with his brother, Jason McCourty, who we heard.
Yeah.
Here's what he said about Mac on the herd two days ago.
He's talented. I think, like you said, the first thing that sticks out is just the arm talent, you know, not even just strength, but the ability to be on the run and throw different ways across his body, even a touchdown to Corey Davis.
Yeah.
Bought some extra time, rolled right, throws it. So I think one of the things that sticks out.
So that was D-Mac on, like that Wilson. Was on Zach Wilson right there. Yeah. But there were more who were giving Mac Jones his flowers, so to speak. Hunter Henry yesterday gave some, and by the way,
him in a while.
By the way, starting to hear some people about
Hunter Henry.
Yeah, and wondering where was the impact? All this stuff.
I thought he was pretty invisible in the first game. I know he had a handful of catches or whatever, but I want to see a little bit more.
Hunter Henry, his thoughts on Mac Jones.
I was really proud of him and how he handled it. He had a lot of poise. Obviously delivered the ball really well, sat in there in the pocket, even when the pocket was coming down. I mean, he made some big-time throws that sometimes a lot of other guys aren't going to make, just standing in the pocket and taking hits and different things like that. It shows a lot of pride, like, to us as guys, like a guy that's going to stand in there no matter what and deliver the ball. It was big to see. So he's only going to get better, continue to get better the more game reps and more practice reps and all the reps that we take.
I mean, that's exactly what we're saying in the first hour about, I think, for the guys on the team to see him get hit and to get up and to still make throws, that's really almost as important as winning, right?
That
like,
feels
to
like
do that,
the thing
like you get
the,
more respect that
those
way.
Guys are pointing to that. Like everybody, feels like everybody that's thought about Mac on the Patriots has mentioned that at some point along the way.
Now, you don't want that to be your only thing.
No.
You know, at some point, remember Drew Bledsoe is the toughest guy in the world because he got hit all the time.
You're right.
And he just got pounded. So, again, I don't think Mac's offensive line is like what Bledsoe's was in the mid-90s. It's going to be better than that.
No, Lane Rucci. We're not going back to the days of Dave Wollabaugh, are we?
Just getting smashed there. I don't think that's going to happen with Mac, but he took hits, and that is what jumped out even more. Like, we're talking about command of the offense. I think those guys kind of expect that almost to a certain level. They're like, we're in the NFL. Like, he kind of should do that. But what Hunter Henry was talking about there are certain throws that maybe guys would have got rid of it quicker, would have grounded it, maybe would have just taken a sack or whatever, but he knew, all right, I'm going to stand in here, throw it downfield, even though I know I'm going to get popped.
So we heard Jason McCourty, we heard Devin McCourty, we've heard Hunter Henry, and then Matthew Slater, who, by the way, is a part of Patriots Monday. He is on with Mutt at Night. Here's what Matt Slater said on Mac and that fieriness.
I think it just depends on the situation. You know, every situation that presents itself is a little bit different, and you just handle it in the moment. You know, I think Mac's already a leader on this football team, and he'll continue to grow in that role. And certainly he's got guys on the offensive side of the ball that will support him and put him in positions to be successful as a leader, as a man, as a player. So collectively, we'll do the best we can to support Mac, but at the same time, we don't want to stifle the gifts that he has as a leader. I'm sure that's an area that he'll continue to blossom in, and ultimately, I'm sure the finished product will be a great one.
When is the last time you heard a guy like that, who, by the way, has been around here for, what, 12 years
forever.
Now for
yeah.
Slater, forever, did you hear veterans being deferential in terms of leadership with a rookie quarterback?
We've never seen it here. Like, it just hasn't really
even. I mean,
here.
Even Brady's first year.
Brady wasn't. I mean, his rookie year, he was the fourth string quarterback all year. So
Brady really was here with Garoppolo. Like, I'm even trying to think of a defensive player who walked in the building and was able to impress everyone so much.
Hightower, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe Hightower or Mayo.
But he
Mayo
played beside
early.
Mayo, did
Mayo
Hightower,
Brewski, right?
Right?
Mayo's first year, I think. Yeah, or am I missing those up? Maybe he just replaced them.
Might be.
But either way, no, that is pretty high praise. But I also think it's why Mac Jones is in a situation for success, because he is surrounded by guys who have won and are leaders in their own right, and they kind of know how to get the most out of the guy. Like, they're not going to come in here and put everything on him, but they're also going to say, hey, you're a good player, so let's do that. Like, what are you good at? Let's find a way to get the most out of that. Whereas the guy they're playing this weekend, it's kind of porked. He's in a spot. He's looking around. He might be their best player. Like, he's one of their best players already, and he's never played it. He's played one game. Whereas Mac Jones is looking around, and you have a bunch of guys on defense. Some of them have been Pro Bowlers before. Guys have won Super Bowls. You have, like, look at the leadership group with White and Andrews and Hightower, McCourty and Slater, like Lawrence Guy. Like, they have a bunch of them, let alone the best head coach in football. And one of the most experienced offensive coordinators.
And they're being deferential to the kid.
Right.
And they're letting him do his thing, which is the part that is...
Pretty good spot
that is. I don't want to say it's surprising. I guess it is surprising in that you always connect leadership to veterans, especially here, right? There was that, like, you call it the leadership council.
Yeah,
you know,
the Jedi Council.
But I think that is very appropriate, because one of the things that I worried about last year with not only just Cam being here, but also you had Chung out, you had Hightower who opted out, you had Andrews who was hurt. Those are the guys that you expected to be leaders, and they're the ones that hold the standard of the organization. They kind of drill it into the minds of everyone. And it feels like with Mac Jones, it's he gets it. He knows what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. He comes from a place that did that kind of stuff. He's going to blend right in with the rest of us. And they've given him the freedom to do it. I mean, hell, even Bledsoe in that trailer from the Brady doc, it was like, oh, there's this skinny twerp going to come and take my job. There's none of that with this kid, it doesn't seem like.
No, not at all. And I think it's just pretty remarkable, too, that this is a guy who, you know, had to back up, 3 years at Alabama, and then he gets to the NFL, starts right away, but seems to be ready for it. Like,
it's
seems to already
nuts,
be embracing
it.
Yeah.
Not only is he a late bloomer, or like I don't know what to make of that.
Maybe.
Like,
or it's just Jalen Hurts and Tua are better than Cam. That's also a part of it.
Well,
but no, I think he could have been a slightly late bloomer, and then I also think he just made the most of his time. Like, Joe Burrow, he transferred from Ohio State to LSU, was decent his second to last year. Projected to be like a fifth round pick,
then
put it together. And
yep.
So maybe you can say the same thing about Mac Jones. Like, Mac Jones put it all together last season.
You can go to weei.com. You read it where I wrote it. My column is up right now. Another interesting food nugget in there as well that I think people will
food
like.
Nugget.
Oh, yeah. Every week there's a food nugget from a former fat.
I like it.
Yeah.
Another
last week
sauce?
Was, no, last week's was whipped cream on its own, like Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Right out of the thing. Good enough for a dessert on its own.
Is that its own thing?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I did the other day? That's just outside the box. Peanut butter on an Oreo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, kind of great.
Wow. You like?
Kind of great. Yeah.
So do you?
Good job, Keith. I'm not a big Oreo fan necessarily. I need to like submerge them in. I like a soft cookie, so I have to submerge it in milk. But I'm sitting there, I'm like,
You're old.
They're in there. Yeah, I need it. I can't chew. So I look at these Oreos and I'm like, well, I want something right now. I want like a dessert kind of thing. Then I had a big jar of peanut butter. I'm like, I'm going to put these on there. And they were great.
It was like the car wrecking Family Guy, chocolate peanut butter. Boom. This is unbelievable. The cop got rich.
Loved it.
So you, in a way, you're not boom roasting Oreo, are you?
No, I'm not. No.
However, you saw a tweet today.
Yeah, I did. So this was.
Let's get into some boomage.
Let's get into some boom
roasted. Boom roasted.
So N'Keal Harry, one of our favorites. Former
I thought he had five catches for 71 yards and a touchdown in the game.
He never looked so good. It was Nelson Aguilar the whole time. So N'Keal Harry, we know, is on IR, and he tweeted out from at N'Keal Harry 15. He hasn't gone about changing that yet because he has changed his number.
He doesn't want to lose the check mark like Maloney and Fourier.
Right. So he's number one. So he tweeted out after we got off the show yesterday. Must have been team photo day. Because there's N'Keal Harry in a full Patriots uniform wearing the number one. He's in a stance, no helmet, in a stance with a real serious face. Real serious look on his face, about to run a route. Looks like he's going to be a little slow to get out of that route, would be my guess. And he's not going to get open. He's number one. And all he wrote is coming soon, ! And then the number one emoji.
Mm-hmm.
That has led to several comments.
Several
comments. We're going to highlight some of those for you here in Boom Roasted. Again, coming soon is what he wrote, the caption with a picture of N'Keal Harry. From at K.326, I'm not falling for this bleep again.
Boom, roasted.
How about at Real Matthews JT? Coming soon to the bench.
Boom, roasted.
Here's at Nick Medici. How about you worry about looking good on the field for once? You're a first-round pick. Play like one. Don't tell me it's a QB play either, because Josh Gordon made Brian Hoyer look like Joe Montana in Cleveland.
Whoa, roasted.
I read that one. He carved him up on that.
I just laid into him. From Mr. Bandwagon 75, LMAO, did dude just switch his jersey number to amount of plays he's actually going to make this year?
Boom, roasted.
All right, this one's from at @the_stone_wads. Bro, can you stop posting about it every week online and just actually do it?
Boom, roasted.
I just read that one. That's great.
That's a good one, because he's had a few where he's talking about his new number and like how the new season.
He posted a photo the day before as well.
Oh, God. From at Wolf Stewart, gonna earn your trade.
Boom, roasted.
This one comes in from at Tian Barrio. Mejor juega bien pendejo en vas de andar de mamador posando para fotos.
Boom, roasted.
Smoked him.
Do we need a translator? Can Davey go to the next room over where he's teaching Latin and get us a translation?
Basically called him a jerk store and told him to...
A jerk store?
Get off the... stop posting photos.
Give a brief message to our Spanish-speaking listeners.
All right. We got a few audio ones here. This was a response from at Ultimate Doug.
You stink!
Boom, roasted.
How do you come back from that?
I mean, you don't.
You hear that, you're like, all right, I might as well just pack it in. I don't know why he does this. Is he unaware? I think he's unaware. You've never made a play, and you're pulling a coming soon. Like, this is going to rile up the fan base? Man, do less.
I would agree.
My advice, do less.
He's 24.
Okay, yeah, I get.
Stay on your feet and stop tweeting. Line. That's what Gresh says, boom, roasted. How about that?
25. Whoa.
Roasted.
25's the year you can't, right? We decided.
I think that's
25 and older, you can't, no excuse for dumb stuff.
Starting to pivot.
Under, yep. So I guess he has a little bit more time to be dumb.
Yeah. And if he reads these, he'll realize, all right. Maybe I just wait for a touchdown play that the NFL tweets out.
At N'Keal Harry, in response to him, at Six String Jim, Pats fans every time you post on social and then have zero catches.
Well, it's Groundhog Day. Again?
Boom. Roasted.
People don't like N'Keal Harry. He's not great.
It is.
This one comes in from at Goose Lord.
Goose Lord.
I feel sorry for that bitch. I don't.
Boom. Roasted.
Twitter is ruthless.
And finally, and there's a ton to choose from here, in response to N'Keal Harry, did a little boom roasted here, at BBQ Sloth King tweeted, should I pick you up in fantasy?
Hell no. To the no, no, no. Yeah, to the no,
to the no, 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 listen.
I I feel like there are a lot of great diehard Patriots fans who are always going to find the best out of situations that maybe not. But I think it's almost across the board people have given up on this guy.
I kind of agree.
They're like, you know what? No. Like, people are still trying to make Cam Newton happen in week 15 last year. Nobody's on the N'Keal Harry bandwagon. They're like, just see you later. And especially now that Aguilar looks like he can maybe play a little bit. See ya.
It's very much out of sight, out of mind as well. People are like, the worst thing that happened to him was that he was a first round pick.
100%.
Because that's the thing that people get. If he were a second, it would be, all right, Bill took double a flyer whammy. And whiffed. Yeah.
Double whammy for him. He was a first round pick, and he was drafted ahead of A.J. Brown, Terry McLaurin, Deebo Samuel, DK Metcalf.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Amongst others, but like those are the ones that jump out. So that part hurts him a lot. But I honestly don't know inside his head, like, and maybe he just never reads any of the comments, and then God bless you. Like, that's probably the best way to go about life. But for him to post stuff like, oh, here I come, here comes N'Keal, like, what? Like, make a couple plays first. Like, really? Because it's not like he's a rookie and hasn't done it yet, and it's just, you know, there's a lot of anticipation for him. Like, we've seen you suck for 2 years, and then you demanded a trade. And we didn't forget that. You demanded a trade, and now we're all excited, and he's mean-mugging the camera in a stance, like, look out.
Is his agent like John Cusack and Say Anything standing there with, like, the boombox, you know, hoping that Bill...
Please?
Like, please? Can you trade him? Please?
He does look pretty sharp in his uniform, though. Number one, I think it's a good look. He's got the one arm. He's got the shooter sleeve like he's Allen Iverson.
What do you think Shine would look like if we dressed him up in a Patriots uniform like that? I think it would look good, too.
What number?
Probably in the 50s, I would
69?
Think.
69?
I was nice. I was number 56, like my freshman year.
Oh, LT. There it is. Yeah,
you got him like 56. LT.
I played
corner.
center/linebacker.
I like it
because you can still be an offensive lineman with a number in the 50s. I do believe. I don't think they've wiped that away.
No, you
yet,
can do that,
right? Yeah. So he.
I
could
do
be...
like the. He's got the shooter sleeve on. He's got his Nike gloves. He's got them unstrapped. That was a Rich Keefe famous thing too.
Oh, really?
Well.
Oh, unstrapped?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He looks good, but...
Lineman gloves never did that. They strapped, and if you unstrapped them, like,
you would
somebody would grab...
You would tape them top, too, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, thumb tape. That's the other thing, too. You don't want to break your thumbs. N'Keal Harry looks... I mean, for
he looks,
the
he looks like a million
photo,
bucks.
He totally does.
But, man, does he suck on the
Same
field.
For Cam Newton. Cam Newton looked like $1 million in every uniform he's ever been in, and then right. he threw the ball.
Yeah, but he was good for... At least he was good for a stretch.
That is true.
This guy has yet to achieve that.
No bueno whatsoever. Shime is ready to trend. We'll also get to the Jets next.
Gresh and Keefe.
My ass is sublime.
That's not fair.
Tell a friend about Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
What were your impressions of Zach Wilson's first start and what you've seen, I guess, prior to that?
Yeah, again, he's an explosive player. He's got a great arm, live arm, make all the throws, athletic. Like any young player, you know, gain experience, get better every time they go out there. Out of the pocket, in the pocket, yeah, it's the unpredictability that comes with players like that. That have things under control, you have a pattern covered, and then something happens, and they make a big play, so.
Mr. Electricity, Bill Belichick right there, talking about Zach Wilson.
On fire. Yep. It's funny because Zach Wilson is a very entertaining player to watch, and that was one of the things at BYU. He's very electric, and then you have somebody like Bill talking about him, and it's sort of...
Yeah, well, he's very electric.
Yeah, the guy makes all the throws.
Bill Belichick, by the way, 6:30 every Monday morning on Patriots Monday on the Greg Hill Show. That was Bill giving some press conference yesterday talking about the game coming up this weekend against the New York Jets. By the way, NFL Sunday shrunk by an hour because of Red Sox baseball. We will have you 9 to just a tad after noon on Sunday to get you ready for everything Patriots, Jets, and of course, the week ahead in the NFL. We are going to circle back to what Bill Belichick said there in a little bit, but what do we know, Keith, about the Jets other than the standard line of we say, well, they suck,
yeah,
which they kind of do.
But they do suck, but they are in a complete overhaul. This is a different Jets team than we have seen in many, many years, right? Like, this is a true reset for them because it's new head coach, Robert Saleh, and new quarterback, number 2 overall pick in the draft, Zach Wilson.
And for those who don't follow quickly, Robert Saleh was the defensive coordinator of the San Francisco 49ers.
And one of the ones that, again, I thought they were going to go with an offensive guy to pair with the young quarterback, but at the same time, out of all the hires from this season, I did think that was one of the better ones. Again, I usually side offense because that's where the league is going, But when you see guys like Dan Campbell and Urban Meyer and Nick Sirianni and some of these other guys getting hired, you're like, oh, that's not going to work. David Culley. Like Robert Saleh, immediately of all the rookie coaches, is sort of towards the top of that list.
I would agree. He was one of those guys in waiting that it wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when. And it was more of the when.
Right.
Will he pick a job that he wants to go to? Because it seemed like for, I don't know, the last 2 years, everybody has kicked the tires on him as a head coaching candidate.
But the roster is junk. It's absolute junk. They spent a lot of money on Corey Davis, who was very good week one. So maybe they have a number one receiver. Remember, he was a guy that looked like a bust in Tennessee and then got good the last couple of years.
He was a bust in Tennessee.
He was the fifth overall pick in the draft.
That's the thing.
And then he turned into a good receiver, at least a good enough receiver to get paid. So he's their number one. I know they've had injuries with guys like Jamison Crowder and Keelan Cole because Braxton Berrios was their number two receiver last week. Braxton Berrios.
Yeah,
he couldn't
even be Gunnar Olszewski here.
Right. When the receiving core was even worse, he still couldn't make the team. But anyway, they have him. They have Tevin Coleman. They spent some draft pick capital the last couple of years on their offensive line. But, of course, Mekhi Becton, this beast of a man, the only guy even the similar size to Trent Brown, he's hurt. So they're not very good. Who was the guy they lost on defense to start the year? They lost their best pass rusher in camp.
Lawson.
Shaq Lawson got hurt.
Who so they traded out. For?
Carl Lawson. They traded for Shaq Lawson.
There you go. That's what it was. So they went Lawson to Lawson. That sounds like a bad television show.
So he's on IR. They just lost LaMarcus Joyner, who was their starting safety. Like, they're a mess. They got C.J. Mosley. Like, okay. But not a very good team. And when you're in a division with three other teams that are all trying to make the playoffs, like, they're going to be in the mix, I think, for the number one pick in the draft.
I think the hard part for the Jets is when you had a head coach there like Adam Gase, and I don't think Joe Douglas, the general manager of the Jets, is a country fried rube.
No.
However, you went out and you bought a bunch of guys, or you drafted a bunch of guys for an offensive philosophy that you now have to kind of readapt running so that you can take advantage of the people that are there, but also take advantage of the quarterback in Wilson. Like, that's the part of it that's really hard, is when you punt on the coach, in a way, you're punting on the plan a general manager has put in for a 2 to 3 year period. And that, to me, is the real issue with the Jets. Even in Buffalo, they figured it out after a while.
Right.
We got to do it, and we got to stick with it, for better or worse, and it's now paying dividends for them. That's what the Jets have been doing. Every 3 years, it's just something new.
But that's also
means half your players might not fit what you want to do.
No, it is true. But also the Bills, they were patient with Josh Allen and didn't blow him out after 2 years where he wasn't looking like an all-pro. Right. Then he finally got good. They stuck with him. The Jets, and this is what sets franchises back. I mean, just ask the Browns for years. They draft Sam Darnold 3 overall. They gave him, what, 3 years? 3 or 4 years? And then, all right, it's not him. Send him packing. Now you bring in Zach Wilson. So now Zach Wilson, you're kind of married to him for 3 years. And if he's not the guy, guess what you're going to do? Draft another quarterback in the top 10 4 years from now.
And you'll probably have blown out another coach and that general manager in the process as well.
So
it would be a full organizational reboot. Like this year for the Jets isn't even an organizational reboot because the GM is still there.
GM's there, but
it's kind of his guys now. Right. That's why everybody is on the clock.
But on field, you're getting, all right, what is Robert Saleh's impact? And can he sway it back the other way? Because you go back to the last time the Jets were any good were the early years of Rex Ryan.
Yep.
The first 2 years of Rex Ryan where they had one of the best defenses in football. And then they tried these different young quarterbacks, and it was Mark Sanchez and it was Sam Darnold, and it didn't work. And then you started recycling coaches, and you just never made the playoffs again. So can Robert Saleh make this at least a competitive defense? Like, that would be the first thing you would look at, right? Is can Robert Saleh change this defense? They were 26th in the league in points allowed last year. Can he make a big improvement there? Oh, by the way, the toughest thing in sports probably is developing that rookie quarterback or that young quarterback into being a franchise guy.
And Devin McCourty on the Herd talking about Zach Wilson and what he sees.
He's talented. I think, like you said, the first thing that sticks out is just the arm talent. You know, not even just strength, but the ability to be on the run and throw different ways across his body, even a touchdown to Corey Davis.
Yeah.
Bought some extra time, rolled right, throws it. So I think one of the things that sticks out definitely is we have to do a good job of trying to keep him in the pocket and not allowing him to buy time with his legs and then ultimately move around the pocket, because once he does that, it's hard to know where the ball's going to go. I think that's something that we have to try to limit, you know, not allowing him to, you know, create out in the open field and open space and make some of those big plays that he was able to make week one and in the preseason.
Did Devin, you don't know where the ball's going to go.
Yeah.
Is that a little code?
Well, he's throwing it like, because he does make a lot of unorthodox throws, right? Like he throws from different angles.
Ooh,
he throws
it's the athleticism run. Everybody it gets is. Caught up it in.
It's pretty exciting. So, I mean, I guess he's that's what he's kind of alluding to.
Yeah, maybe. But
you can always read between the lines, though. That's the
thing. Yeah, that's the thing.
Because McCourty is he's been doing this long enough. He's not going to give you any bulletin board material. Everybody's going to be great. You know, I'm sure Tua was great. Zach Wilson can make all the throws. Jameis Winston, I bet you're going to hear a little bit about arm strength going into week three. Like, that's what those guys do.
But you said code.
Yeah.
But so, can you decipher code, though, considering we have heard pretty much everything Bill Belichick has said for a 21-year period?
Yeah, and so when we came back, we had the what Bill Belichick said about Zach Wilson was that he can make all the throws. And that was sort of what a lot of the scouts said coming out of college and everything else. And I give all the credit in the world to Andrew Callahan, who covers the Patriots for the Boston Herald.
Great job.
This is like he is absolutely hit on something. He refers to this as a theory, but he is 100% right. He might have even sugarcoated it a little bit, so I'll lay it on a little bit thicker. Basically, Bill Belichick, all he said about Zach Wilson was he makes all the throws. That is code for he sucks. That is code for he sucks because
Shime loves him.
And he has the receipts here. He went and pulled other transcripts. What other quarterbacks in recent history did Bill Belichick say that same thing about?
Ooh.
When not referring to accuracy, not referring to decision making, not referring to reading defenses, just strictly make all the throws, which sounds like a compliment. It sounds like an absolute compliment, right? But when it's not supported by anything else, Andrew Callahan points out, here are three other quarterbacks Bill Belichick said that same thing about that he did Zach Wilson. Dwayne Haskins, Sam Darnold, Jared Goff. Those guys, all to different degrees, suck. Maybe Darnold will have a rebirth in Carolina. I don't know. He didn't look all that great in week one. Haskins is one of the worst first-round pick quarterbacks in recent memory. And then Jared Goff was just incredibly overdrafted at one. And it's maybe a NFL starter, but it's certainly not anybody you need to be worried about. And again, Belichick kind of sneaky throws in there. Zach Wilson, same stuff. You know, you can talk about he can, you know, a guy who can run, a guy who's, you, once you start, and Devin did that thing too there, when you start talking about like arm strength and stuff.
And the whole, yeah, like, you make all the throws, you just don't know where they're going to be. And when you think of it, unorthodox, that means he can run right and throw it to the left side of the field. That's exactly what Devin McCourty wants.
And I feel like, because Devin would even do that when we were talking about N'Keal Harry. I remember asking Devin about Harry his rookie year and his second year, and it was a lot of stuff that was just, sounds like compliments, but it's sort of hiding, but it's being truthful. Like, guy works hard, he's strong, he's pretty fast. But you're like, does he get open? Does he know the plays? Is he smart? Like, things like that. Like,
those are always, great traits.
Would always leave out. And so when you're talking about a quarterback, like, okay, you're like Sam Darnold, you're like Jared Goff, you're like Dwayne Haskins. Yeah, he's big. I can get out of the pocket a little bit. Like, you know, good arm strength. Yeah, it's an NFL quarterback. I hope you have good arm strength. If you're a good high school quarterback, I hope you have good arm strength.
When you really think about it, he can make all the throws, but
right.
He doesn't do it consistently.
But if he's not accurate, or yep. if he doesn't make the good decisions, like, he can throw it 40 yards on a rope to that guy, but he's double covered. You know what I'm saying? Like, that guy's open and he misses him.
Is it
or whatever.
Cam Newton?
Yeah, right. Well, nah, not about a rope for Cam Newton. he can, you know, throw a duck about 30 yards.
At Gresh Keefe on Twitter, you can see the Andrew Callahan tweet where he really
smart,
breaks it down.
Digs in on it. Like,
great job.
Good year for that. That was great.
Yeah, a very job well done by Mr. Callahan there. NFL Sunday, 9 to noon before Red Sox baseball today. Or excuse me, Red Sox baseball on Sunday. Coming up here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com, anytime, anywhere, on the Odyssey app. As we mentioned, C.J. Mosley. Here's something about the corners real quick.
Yeah.
All the corners are rookie or second-year players drafted fifth or later or undrafted free agents. I mean, that
big
is...
Big Aguilar game.
That is...
Big Myers game.
That's something. You mentioned Joyner being down. Yeah. And if Braxton Berrios gets 100 on this defense,
I don't care
who is out there.
No.
Like, shame on the Patriots if Braxton Berrios goes off against them. Hey, we will get you fantasy ready next with the perfect lineup, which, by the way, we made you a little money last week, so you might want to perk up. Fantasy ready, perfect lineup next.
Gresh and Keefe.
The more layers you peel, the more I don't stink.
Tell a friend about Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
Let's help you win some money in fantasy football. Time for the perfect fantasy lineup presented by Miller Lite. When it's game time, it's Miller time. Keith and Shime got the perfect lineup. Let's hear it, baby.
All right, week two, let's make it some money. Here's the deal. Shime and I put our heads together. This is what we came up with. This is how we are best going to make the best bang for our buck. Let's start at quarterback. Let's not outthink it too much. Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson coming off a great week one. He also is a guy that was the MVP for really the first half of last season,
yeah.
I think. And then he started to throw interceptions, and he started to fall off just a little bit. But I expect Russell Wilson to have a pretty monster game at home against the Tennessee Titans, who just gave up a million passing yards and passing touchdowns a week ago to Arizona.
Yeah, what's up with that?
So start Russell Wilson at home.
We went really cheap on running backs this week. So the first running back we picked is Damian Harris. He had 100 yards last week. I kind of expect a repeat performance of that. And also, hopefully, he'll get in the end zone this week. So that's kind of what we're aiming for with Damian Harris. I mean, and he's one of the cheapest starting running back options you can find.
Kind of like a revenge game, right? Because we don't know what his usage is going to be. But hopefully, Bill gives him the ball. And then he feels like he needs to make up for what happened last week. And he goes nuts, goes 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's the hope. The Jets defense could allow it. If he gets the carries.
Especially if they get up early on a bad Jets team. That could be just run-heavy offense.
Yeah. He's got to be motivated. He has to be motivated for it. All right, another running back. We're going cheap again. Elijah Mitchell from the San Francisco 49ers. 19 carries, 104 yards, and a touchdown last week after Raheem Mostert got hurt and is out for the year. But I don't know about Mitchell long-term. We had him in our pickups yesterday on the Fantasy Brief. I don't know, or Tuesday. I don't know about him long-term, but early going after what he did last week, I'd throw him in there, especially for this cheap money. So Elijah Mitchell against the Eagles.
And the Eagles, even beating the Falcons 32-6, still let up 124 rush yards last week.
Yeah.
So I think Elijah Mitchell could kind of pop off. Our first wide receiver is going to be Ja'Marr Chase. Had a touchdown last week. I think him and Joe Burrow locked in together. This is just going to be a great chemistry pairing. And it's a cheap receiving option. You're getting Ja'Marr Chase much cheaper than a lot of other receivers. So I love the pick here. Playing Chicago this week, who I don't think is very good.
Well, Chicago had no kind of defense against the LA Rams.
Cincinnati offense is going to be fun to watch this year.
It will be. Yeah. It might not be very efficient, but it'll be fun to watch.
They're another Cowboys team. They may score a lot of points, but they're not going to play a lot of
defense. Don't make big plays.
That is true. In the daily fantasy, we know it's all about the stack. So we went Russell Wilson. Got to go with one of his receivers. Go on Tyler Lockett. They hooked up on an incredible, 68-yard bomb last week in stride, past two defenders. He is one of his favorite targets for the last handful of years, so give me Tyler Lockett in that same game.
Everybody makes a big deal about DK Metcalf, but Tyler Lockett, sneaky good.
Yeah.
He's a smart.
Probably better overall.
Yeah, he's a solid wide receiver.
He kind of filled in for that Doug Baldwin role, too, with Russell Wilson, where he has that mind-meld connection. The third guy at receiver we're going to go with this week is Chris Godwin. Had a great week one. I think he's the focal point of the Tampa Bay passing offense, to be completely honest with you. Mike Evans is kind of hit or miss. Antonio Brown's probably going to be pretty good, and Gronk's always going to be good in the red zone. But I think Chris Godwin is just going to be the most consistent all year. So he was our pick there.
And the hard part with Brady, too, is that he's still really good at spreading the ball around. So, because, like, Mike Evans would normally be the – I mean, if Mike Evans were here, are you kidding me? We'd be going crazy.
Well, I think Mike Evans could be one of those guys who has a bad game, maybe two bad games, and then they go overboard getting him involved.
Oh, yeah.
So if you pick that game right for Evans,
for 170 and, like, three scores.
Exactly.
The guy always has 1,000 yards. He always finds a way to do it. He might have two bad games in a row, but then he's going to light it up. And then Brady might even feel like – I think you saw that times last year. Brady's like, oh, man – I haven't gone to Evans in a while.
Feed him.
There was that one game he had, I think, 2 1-yard touchdown catches last year. Because he's like, I just got to get him the ball. And he's like, flipped it over to him. And he's like, we gotta get this thing done. All right, tight end. We're going pretty cheap again at tight end. But that Rams offense looked great week one. So let's go with Tyler Higbee. He had 5 catches for 68 yards. They're taking on the Colts this week. You know me, I love Matt Stafford. I love that Rams offense. And so let's see if Tyler Higbee, who had 6 targets last week, which is actually second most on the team, see if he can get something going this week.
We're actually going to stick with the Rams here and take the most targeted guy as well in our flex. It's Cooper Kupp. I think overall, Indy's defense kind of got exposed last week by Seattle. I think it's going to be just the exact same thing again this week with the Rams. A lot of deep shots, a lot of pass completions, a lot of yards, a lot of touchdowns. So to get a couple guys in this offense, I think, is the right move. And so Cooper Kupp is absolutely going to be Matt Stafford's number one guy this year. So I love grabbing him in the flex.
Kupp looked like Devontae Smith against Mercer last year for Alabama against the Bears. Open. He was wide open.
He was wide open. And then defense, because we spent a lot of money at quarterback and at the receivers, we got not a ton of money to spend here at defense. Let's go to the New Orleans Saints, who looked really good against the Packers last week.
Even with all the issues and everything with the preparation, all the stuff going on.
Going the Saints, going up against the Carolina Panthers, who really didn't look that great against this Jets defense.
Right.
You know, they only scored 19 points against the Jets. So I know McCaffrey's healthy. He gets the ball every single time. But I don't know if Sam Darnold is going to be Ryan Tannehill 2.0. It doesn't seem like
he might be seeing ghosts after this game.
He might be. That Saints defense is pretty good. So give us the Saints defense. There you go. There is your perfect lineup for week 2.
Excellent stuff. The perfect fantasy lineup is presented by Miller Lite. When it's game time, it's Miller time.
We'll tweet it out at Gresh Keefe as well if you forgot any of those names.
Oh, absolutely. Because you got to make your fantasy money. By the way, week 2 officially starts tonight, where we got Giants against football team.
Division rivalry.
So weird to say that. Giants against football team. When are they gonna get it right down there in Washington? Coming up, speaking of week 2, we're going to get into week 2 in the NFL. Lots of storylines. Keith and I will rip through them next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.